at the age of 21, I went to England and, you know, it's a long story. Every devotee has their story, how they got involved in Krishna consciousness. So I've got my story. But I was in the surfing world. You know, you don't find a lot of Indians. You find some. Not a lot who are involved in the surfing world. I went to, from New Zealand, I went to Australia and I stayed there a while in Sydney. In the surfing community, you could say. And there was one famous surfer. His name, for what it's worth, was Ted Spencer. And he was one of the top surfers in the whole world. But he was a devotee. And he surfed in the world championships with a shaved head and seeker. Yeah. So he was really into it. So anyway, there I was in Sydney. And one day there was a knock on the door. And I opened the door. There was this young surfer there, not devotee, but surfer. His name was Spider. He was also quite well known. You get all these funny names. I was staying with some other surfers. One of them was working for one of the most famous surfers of all time, Midget Farrelly. So anyway, Spider came to the door with this huge Simply Wonderful. It was like, you know, sort of this size. It was really big. It was really big. And he said, you know what? Ted Spencer gave me this and said to take it to all the surfers on the north coast of Sydney and get everyone to take a bite. It was prasadam. Yeah, Spider didn't really know much about prasadam. So I looked at this thing, really, I must take a bite. And I looked at it. I saw all these tooth marks from other people who'd already taken bites. And I thought, wow, is this really for me? Is it me? But I took a bite. That was the first prasadam I took in this lifetime. Yeah. But anyway, then I came, that was probably like November 72, that I went to England on a ship. Got there in December, joined the temple on January the 7th, 1973, and shortly afterwards went out on book distribution. And I did some book distribution on the street. Then a group of us started a program going door to door. So I remember very clearly, first door I went to in London, sort of Kensington, Chelsea area, knocked on the door, some sort of like 30-ish, I suppose, person, gentleman, opened the door. I stuck an Ishapanishad in his hand, Sri Ishapanishad, opened my mouth to say something, realized I didn't know what to say. I never read the book, didn't know what the book was about. So I sort of babbled something, and he took the book. That was nice. That was fun. So let's just have a little kirtan. and then we'll say something. I'll read actually a verse from Bhagavad Gita, which is connected with book distribution. Are you having a nice time? Is everyone okay? Yeah? How is the prasadam? Is it okay? Nice? Good. So what I'm going to do is read two verses from Bhagavad Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we will read chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, verse 68 and 69. Ya idam paramam guryam mad bhaktesh vabhadasyuti bhaktim mayi param krishva mame vaishyat yasamshayaha. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. And verse 69, na chitasman manusyeshu kashchan me priyakritama madhata nachame tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. And I will read the purport, actually, of verse 68, the first of these two verses. Generally, it is advised that Bhagavad Gita be discussed amongst the devotees only, for those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. Those who do not accept Krishna as he is and Bhagavad Gita as it is should not try to explain Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a subject matter for the devotees only and not for philosophical speculators. Anyone, however, who tries sincerely to present Bhagavad Gita as it is, will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional state of life. As a result of such pure devotion, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasna Bhutale Jivati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Neravishesha Shunyavani Vastujyadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So those of you who are familiar with Bhagavad Gita, you would know that Lord Krishna, at this point, right at the end of Bhagavad Gita, right at the end of the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna really sums up his message. Madmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mad Namaskuru Mame Vaishyasi Satyam Te Pratijane Priyosime. You should always think of me become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage to me. In this way, you will come to me. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend, or through doing these things, you'll become my very dear friend. And then Lord Krishna presents, that was 1865, then he speaks verse 66, which is very famous verse, Sarva Dharman Parichaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Shami Vashucha, that we should abandon all other types of dharmas and just surrender to Krishna. And Krishna says, if you do that, I'll deliver you from all your sinful reactions, all your pap, and you'll be liberated. Do not fear. So this is really the message of Bhagavad Gita, actually. In a nutshell, we mentioned this morning in the Bhagavatam class, I don't know if it was rather heavy going for any or some or all of you even, but we mentioned there how people don't understand what is the message of Bhagavad Gita, or if it has a message. But Bhagavad Gita has a message, a specific point, which Lord Krishna is trying to get across, and this is it. That we shouldn't get distracted by other types of activities. The word dharma is often translated as religion. And even here in Bhagavad Gita, in the translation to that verse, 1866, Prabhupada translates it as religion. But it also has a broader meaning in the sense of activity in life. Like your focus in life and the activities which are there in terms of your focus in life. So we should surrender to Krishna, become his devotees, remember him, serve him. That is Krishna's message in Bhagavad Gita. So that's 1865 and 66 we just referred to. Here, we just read 68 and 69. Just immediately following those two verses. And in these two verses, Lord Krishna is really, basically what he's saying is that, all right, if you're going to become my devotee and serve me and remember me and try and please me, then what are you going to do exactly? What activity are you going to do? Of course, there's so many activities we can do for Krishna. I heard yesterday you were cooking for Krishna. Is that right? Yeah? Are you good cooks? Are they good cooks?
Yes, very sweet. A lot of clean things.
Oh, it must have been good. Prabhupada, you know what I think Prabhupada said about cooking? If you use enough cream, enough butter, ghee, and enough sugar, any fool can make something taste nice. Okay, anyway, so you can cook for Krishna. In fact, it's a very important service, actually. It's a really important service. The kitchen is under the supervision of Radharani. Srimati Radharani is always there in the kitchen when you're cooking for Krishna. So you can cook for Krishna. You can clean for Krishna. You can manage things like the temple or some department in the temple or some like the BYS, you can organize that as a service to Krishna, and There's so many things you can do for Krishna. In some places, some devotees, it is their service to shop for Krishna. A popular activity. What do they say? Shop till you drop. Anyway, the basic point is so many things you can do for Krishna. We had one devotee, he was an engineer. He was working at Coover, Cape Town, you know, the nuclear power station, as an engineer. I don't know exactly what he was doing, but something to do with the equipment there is like mechanical engineer. So we were discussing, and I said, look, you know, you're a nuclear engineer. Can you do that for Krishna? And he said, well, I don't know. Unless you make an atom bomb for Krishna. So, you know, certain things are more difficult to do for Krishna. But many things can be done for Krishna, actually. And they're all good. They're all good. But here Krishna is saying, in effect, what Krishna is saying here is that if you have accepted this point that, all right, I should be a devotee, I should serve Krishna, try and please him, so what am I going to do exactly? Krishna's point here is that, you know, all the activities, bona fide devotional activities, they're all good. But the best is, if you try and give people knowledge about me, try and bring people closer to me, Krishna's saying in this verse, in the second of these two verses, there is no servant in this world more dear to me than he or she, than the devotee who's really trying to bring people to him and introduce people to Krishna consciousness. It's a special service. It's a special service in the sense of being very appreciated by Krishna. And let's not forget, let's try and really keep it in our minds that Krishna consciousness, serving Krishna, is very, very personal. Personal in the sense that Krishna is there. And you're doing something for Krishna, and he is watching you. He's watching what you do practically, your actual physical activity. He is watching your mind, your consciousness, our consciousness. He's watching our attitudes, our emotions, and all these different sort of psychological internal components as we're doing things for him. And if we do something nicely, with a nice attitude of service, of wanting to please him and really making an effort to do it nicely, then Krishna is very happy. You may not be able to see him. You know, he may not walk up to you just yet. That comes later. And say to you, well done, that was good. But in different ways, devotees get reciprocation, sometimes in terms of feeling, sometimes in terms of things which may happen, through which the devotee can understand if Krishna is pleased with what I do. You know, one thing, it's a little subtle and it's also a little subjective, but if you've been doing devotional service and you go in front of the deities and see the deities, sometimes it is said, if the deities appear to be smiling at you, you can take it they're pleased with what you've been doing. sometimes if you're having a bad day, you go in and Krishna looks unhappy. So maybe Krishna is not so pleased and we need to make a little more effort. But my point is, basic point, Krishna is definitely watching and acknowledging and accepting and also responding, reciprocating. You weren't there last night. We had a class last night and I made the point that in Shastra, in scripture, it says, if when you're looking at the deity, if a flower, or I was saying it about Bhaktisiddhanta, actually Kadambakananda Maharaj mentioned, I think yesterday morning in his class, as a child, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was placed at the feet of Jagannath on his chariot, and a garland fell right sort of around him. And everyone took it. Ah, this is a gesture. This is not, you know, just they didn't tie it properly or the string got worn out or something. This is actually a gesture from Krishna. And it was taken to be a type of recognition that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was a very great devotee. So we made the point last night. If a flower or a garland, even just one flower, drops from the deities, it's auspicious. But if some jewelry drops from the deity, it's inauspicious. And I was watching this morning, I don't know if any of you noticed. Did you notice? During the kirtan in front of the deities, Krishna dropped a flower. Did you see that? A little jasmine. Krishna dropped. Good sign. Anyway, the thing is, it is not that we are just working. It is not we're just doing something. But we're actually, it's a process of interaction with Krishna. It's a personal process, Krishna consciousness. It's not just formulaic, mechanical. It really is not. And we should try and tune in and pray for some mercy from Krishna to be able to see how he is expressing himself and interacting with us. So anyway, as these two verses say, this particular type of service of giving people Krishna consciousness, it is particularly appreciated by Krishna. It really is. And he reciprocates and gives mercy more than any other type of service. In fact, I was once in Srila Prabhupada's room in Bhaktivedanta Manor in England, and Srila Prabhupada was giving general darshan. There's sort of like a group like this, maybe 10 or 15 devotees there, and Prabhupada was talking. And a devotee asked Prabhupada that, is there special mercy if you go out and distribute books and try and give people Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada said yes. Prabhupada said, if you're just staying in the temple, just, you know, it's fairly comfortable actually, staying in the temple. That's nice. But if you commit some offense, if you do something wrong, then you'll get some reaction for doing something wrong. But Prabhupada said, if you're going out and making that effort to spread Krishna consciousness, even if you make some offense, you do something wrong, but Krishna immediately takes the reaction away because he sees you're making that effort, extending yourself to go out and give people Krishna consciousness. Because when you go out, I don't know how many of you have been out distributing books before, but you meet all sorts of people. And I tell you something, sometimes you meet some really weird people. I tell you what, you meet some crazy people sometimes. Here in chats, where are you all going out? Is it just locally or?
Yeah, I think going to Khorasan.
Okay, that's a nice area. It's a kind of Hindu area. And so, you know, you'll meet nice people. But you go down West Street on a Saturday, you'll meet some real cranky people. And some nice people too. It's a bit of an experience. So when Krishna sees, though, that the devotee is making that effort to go out and face, because when you walk up to a person, when you knock on the door, you don't know who you're going to find. I don't know if you know Ramanuj Acharya Prabhu. He stays here at the temple, very senior devotee. He and I were going door to door many years ago in Johannesburg. So it's like just a house in its own grounds. We walked in, knocked on the door, and the door was kind of around the side a little. So we knocked on the door, and then we heard this sort of huffing sound, like heavy breathing sound, coming from behind us towards the road. We looked around. There was a Great Dane, this gigantic dog, in between us and the road. So what was going to happen? Nothing happened, fortunately. But you have interesting experiences. And Krishna really appreciates. So therefore it's a nice service to do, in the sense that you get special mercy and you get special benefit. And, you know, it's really amazing when you distribute some books, the feeling that you get internally, the reciprocation from Krishna in the heart, it really is something very strong and very beautiful, actually, very wonderful. In England, we would go out on the streets. We had a slogan, like a motto: 100 a day keeps Maya away. We would try to do 100 books each a day. You're only going out for a short period, I imagine, so you won't do so many. Who knows? But if you make that effort and really try and give people Krishna consciousness, then you'll feel great satisfaction internally. And more than just satisfaction, you'll feel great spiritual bliss. It's really wonderful. So, I want to tell you a little story. Thing is, you know, we have the books, Bhagavad Gita, various other books, and, you know, the words are printed on the paper with ink. But we understand, in fact, scripture makes the point very clearly that the words of Krishna and the words of the great devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, in our cases, they're not just words. It's not just ink on paper or just another piece of printed material. Krishna and the devotees are present in their words. In other words, we have Bhagavad Gita here. It is, you could say, a form of Krishna. Krishna's absolute. He and his name are the same. He's present in his name. That's why we chant Hare Krishna. And that's how we get some experience from it, because Krishna is present. Krishna and his instructions. He's present in his instructions. He's present in his form. In his picture. Look, there's Krishna. He's looking at you. In fact, he's actually looking at you. He's present here. This is why we don't put the books down on the ground. We don't step over the books. Because it's Krishna. It's not just another book. So when you distribute books, you're giving people Krishna. It's an extremely sacred activity. Very deep, very spiritually rich activity, because Krishna is present. Even there's one purport somewhere, it's in the third or fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Narada Muni is speaking to somebody. Narada Muni is a very great devotee, and in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada says, we would like to thank Narada Muni for appearing in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, someone might think it's sort of like colorful or pretentious language, you know, or even a little facetious language, but it's completely literal. He's present. He's actually present. So when we give people a book, we're giving them Krishna. And Prabhupada made the point that if they read one page, their lives will be changed. Then Prabhupada said, if they read one sentence, it was actually in a class, Prabhupada was saying this, if they read one sentence, their lives will be changed. Then Prabhupada said, no, if they read one word, their lives will be changed. In other words, it's deep. It's very deep. It's very powerful. And it's not like, you know, you're just selling something, trying to get people to take something, trying to get their money off them, and that's what it's about. On the surface, it may look like that a little bit, but actually, it's a very deep spiritual activity. So, the story. Prabhupada tells the story. Some of you may have heard this story before. I've recounted it on many occasions. There was a devotee in South India. His name was Arjun Acharya. I named her father after him. Arjun Acharya. He was a devotee, like very dedicated. And he loved Bhagavad Gita. He loved Bhagavad Gita. He would read the entire book every day. Just the texts. Not the purports. But the entire Bhagavad Gita every day. However, there was one verse that he just couldn't accept. And he thought, you know, maybe someone came along later and changed it, and it's not really consistent with what Krishna actually said. It's not Bhagavad Gita as it is, in other words. That was the verse, chapter 9, verse 22. Krishna says that for those who Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana pariupasate tesham nitya viyuktanam yogik shemam vahamyaham. For those devotees, ananya means basically always, chintayanta, they're thinking mam about me. For those devotees who are always thinking about me and always serving me in devotion, Krishna says, I carry to them what they lack, and I preserve what they have. Krishna says quite clearly that I do it myself. Vahami is the word, actually. Vahami means I carry in Sanskrit, in the sense of I carry and deliver. Vahami. So anyway, this Arjunachari, he thought, no. Vahami. You know, Krishna takes something and carries it and delivers it here. Take it. To the devotee. No, it can't be like that. Krishna's God. What's Krishna doing running around, carrying things around, delivering things like a delivery boy? Can't be that. He thought, what it must be is, someone's changed something here. It must be that Krishna causes it to happen. For the devotee, sincere devotee, Krishna causes it to happen that whatever the devotee has is preserved, and whatever the devotee needs but does not have, Krishna causes it that somehow or other, by some means or other, the devotee gets it. So what he did, his Bhagavad Gita was written on tree bark. In those days, if you wanted a Bhagavad Gita, you had to put your order in with the scribe, and he would copy it out by hand. And you would come back after maybe 3 months, and you would get your Bhagavad Gita. It was not like, you know, just mass produced by the thousands every minute. So what he did, his was written on tree bark. He took some sort of knife or some sort of blade and cut the word Vahami out, I carry. And in the place there he wrote Karomi. Karomi means I cause it to happen. And he thought, right, that's good. I have improved Bhagavad Gita, or I've done the right thing. So Krishna is now saying that I cause it to happen that my devotee gets whatever he or she is lacking and like that. So he thought, good, I've done a good thing here. He was very poor, Arjunacharya. He went out then to beg food for lunch for him and his wife. His wife stayed home and waited. So wife's there waiting. There's a knock on the door. She opens the door. There are two young boys there, like maybe 10 years old. One of them was extremely dark-skinned. Extremely, like black. The other one was extremely white-skinned. Not like me, but actually white. No prizes for guessing who it might be. So there are these two boys, and they have all this food, uncooked, like vegetables, grains, spices, ghee, and so on. And the dark-skinned boy said, here, take this. Bang. He gave it to the wife. We met your husband in the town. He was begging food. And we said, no problem. We've got all this food here. We'll take it to your home and deliver it. And here it is. And they just gave it all to the lady. So the lady was astonished. Wow, it's like tons of food. And she said, well, please, come in. Come and sit down. And I'll cook a big feast. And when my husband comes back, we'll have a big feast together. The dark-skinned boy, he said, no, 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 no. No way. I am not waiting here till your husband comes back. No chance. The wife was surprised. Why, what's wrong with my husband? And the dark-skinned boy said, you know what happened? There I was, telling your husband, don't worry, We'll bring all this food to your house. And there you are. And you know what he did? He took a blade and struck me on the back. He hit me on the back and cut my back. And the boy turned his back. There, you see, look at that. And she saw all these nasty cuts on the back of this boy. And the boy said, your husband did this. And the wife said, no, my husband would never do a thing like that. And the dark-skinned boy said, he did. And I'm getting out. And the two boys left. A little later, Arjunacharya returned, empty-handed. He walked in the house. There's his wife cooking a big feast. And he asked her, what happened? Where did this come from? And she said, oh, you know. It was those two boys, the dark-skinned boy, the white-skinned boy. You met them in the market. And Arjunacharya said, what dark-skinned boy, what white-skinned boy? I never met anyone like that. And she said, oh, come on, you know. They offered to bring all this food here, but you hit the dark-skinned boy on the back and you cut his back. How could you do that? And Arjunacharya said, oh, I never did such a thing. I would never do such a thing. That's crazy. And he's just bewildered. Then his eyes fell on that page of Bhagavad Gita where he had cut the word out and written his own mental speculation in. And he understood. He realized Krishna is not different from his words. He is personally present in his words. He is personally present in Bhagavad Gita. The words of Bhagavad Gita are a form of Krishna. And I cut that word out. I cut the body of Krishna. So he immediately stuck Vahami back in where it was, and he was just so overwhelmed that despite what I did, Krishna still carried and delivered the food for me and my family. And he just became completely overwhelmed, and he went running out into the town, running around the town, just crying out, Vahami! 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 And no one could understand what happened to Arjunacharya. So Srila Prabhupada told the story. Actually, it's an old story. It's an old, old story. But it encourages us to understand what we are doing when we're distributing Krishna consciousness in the form of books, or even just speaking to people, or even, you know, distributing prasadam, distributing Krishna consciousness in any form. We're giving people Krishna. We are carrying Krishna, giving people Krishna. It's really special. It's very special. It's very deep. And because Krishna is just interwoven in the whole experience, you get a lot of mercy. You give mercy, you get mercy. So, I'll be waiting to hear how you do. I'll be waiting to hear how it goes, means what results. There's one girl in Mauritius. She's an aspiring disciple of mine. She is an air hostess on Air Mauritius. Not the best type of thing, but anyway, that's what she's doing at present. And she went out on her first day of book distribution about just a few weeks ago. did 150 books. Then she went out for the second day on Gita Jayanti. That was the 6th, just a week or so ago. And she did 108 Bhagavad Gitas. Anyway, we'll be waiting to hear how successful you are. But I'll be very interested to hear, you know, any experiences you have with the people and, you know, how it goes on that level, your interactions. One thing to understand is that, at least as far as I'm concerned in my experience, the main thing is just to be nice. You don't have to be slick, you know, real cool and a fast talker. You don't have to. But if you're just nice, and you don't have to be a big scholar and quote Sanskrit to them, you can do that if you're able. But the first thing, without which it becomes extremely difficult, or much more difficult, is just to be nice and friendly. When, you know, in England we were doing book distribution, a very big book distribution, really, thousands of books every day amongst all of us. We would sometimes use mantras, what we would call mantras, but they're just things you say to people, just things you say to people just to express what the books are about. So they take the books. So you don't have to think, you know, what to say. And then, you know, you get sort of muddled up and you're not really sort of like really pointed in what you say. Let me tell you a mantra. You could try this. Person comes, you know, knock the door. Person comes to the door, stick the book in their hand, say, this is a mantra we use with great success. This is our book. It explains all about us. In the shops, it's selling for 50 rands. Today, just give a donation. That's a mantra. And you'll be surprised. You know, you'll be very surprised. If your mind is in an orderly state and you are in a nice sort of emotional state, friendly, and if you just say something like that, where you're not sort of grasping for words, and you'll be surprised how effective it is. This is our book. It explains about yoga and meditation, how to be happy in a natural way. And then just say something very simple to, you know, get them to give some money. You don't really need to say a lot more than that. In many, many, many cases, you might be extremely surprised, actually, how simple it can be. Let me close, I think, by telling you another story. This is not one of my stories, but it's one from another devotee, very nice devotee. They were distributing books in America. They were traveling around America, town to town, distributing books in the street, in a van. And they would stay at like a holiday camp overnight. Move on to the next town. And they were from, and the van on the license plate, the number plate, in America it has the state. So they were from Detroit, which is Michigan. So it said Michigan. So there they were in some town somewhere in America distributing books. Unknown to them, some criminals robbed a bank in the same town the same day, and made their getaway in an identical van to the devotees, which had number plates with Michigan on them. The devotees didn't know that. That night they were in the holiday camp. They're actually sleeping in the van. Suddenly, at midnight, they heard this noise. They looked out. Their van was surrounded by cars with their headlights shining on their van. There was a helicopter flying over their van. And there are all these people. They got out looking around, wow, it's the police. What's going on here? So the big policeman, not like a South African policeman, but a real policeman, you know, an American policeman, like 6'6" and all muscle. The chief policeman with a machine gun says, all right, you guys, you come forward right now. Okay. So they came forward. Policeman came forward a bit with a few other policemen. We know who you are. You robbed the bank. No, not us. We're Hare Krishnas. We're distributing books. And the policeman said, what? No, I don't believe you. You robbed the bank. And the devotee had a long sikha like me. He pulled up his sikha, said, see, look, we're Hare Krishnas. We're distributing books. And the chief policeman with his gun, big man, came forward and said, what? You're Hare Krishnas? Really? Yes, we're Hare Krishnas. Here, take a book. So the policeman's now looking at the book, looking at the devotees, looking at the book, looking at the devotees. You're Hare Krishnas? Really? Yes, we're Hare Krishnas. And the policeman, the chief policeman, walked right up to the main devotee, like, you know, a couple of inches away, looking down on him. And the chief policeman said, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. He was a devotee. The chief policeman was a devotee. So you never know who you're going to meet. You never know who you're going to meet. Yeah. And if you really, you know, if you try to be in good consciousness, if you really chant nicely and try and meditate like on these points that I made and be in that spirit of trying to give and help the people by giving them Krishna consciousness, Krishna makes the most amazing arrangements. Most amazing arrangements. Yeah. So you can distribute more books and all sorts of things happen. So these are some thoughts about book distribution and Krishna consciousness in general. We pray you will do well and be happy out there. Hare Krishna.